So I think this week will be the last week of our discussing halachos of Kiddush, and then we'll probably move on to Lecha Mishnah, Hamotzi, the Sudas, and other interesting things as we proceed throughout our Shabbos day. So two main topics I want to talk about tonight. The first one, which is really basically the whole first side of the page, is drinking the cup of wine. Okay, very interesting halachos in terms of drinking the cup of wine after Kiddush. And then the second side of the page is Kiddush B'makom Suda, which we're familiar with. Well, we'll discuss some of those things as well. Okay, so how much does a person have to drink? Right, presumably you make Kiddush, you have to drink from the cup of wine. So how much do you have to drink? So we know the Shulchan Aruch tells us in source number one, Tzarich lishtos mikol shel Kiddush kimale lugmav. You have to drink a male lugmav. What's a male lugmav? So it's a cheekful. A cheekful. Both cheeks, one cheek. The Hainu, says the Shulchan Aruch, kol sheyisal kenu litzad echad befiv, v'yeroem melo lugmav. So if you can, you move the wine to one side of your mouth, and it looks like, you know, your cheek is protruding. Right? So one cheek. One cheekful. How much is that? V'hurubo shel revius. Shulchan Aruch tells us, it's the majority of a revius, most of a revius. Now, what's a revius? So we discussed a different shiurim for a revius. Rav Chaim Noah says it's about 3 ounces. Chazon Ish says it's about 5.1. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says it depends if we're talking about Friday night or Shabbos day. He distinguishes between the two. Since Friday night is the Oraiso, Shabbos day is the Rabbanan, so he's a little bit more machmir. It's about 4.4 or so for Friday night, and then Shabbos day is a little bit less, 3 point something. But it's about the majority of a revius. That's how much you have to drink. So if you think about Rav Chaim Noah, which is the lower shear, let's say 3 ounces, so you have to drink about an ounce and a half, right? About an ounce and a half, 1.6 ounces, which is not that much. It's a little bit, it's like a shot glass and a half or so. Not that much of wine that you have to drink. Okay. Now, why do we have this shear? Right? Why do we have this shear of Mali Lugmav? So says the Mishnah Berurah in source number two, Deba'inan shear chashuv, you need a significant shear. It should be a significant shear that your mind, when you drink it, your mind should be put to rest, so to speak. Meaning, you drank something significant. You feel it. You know, if you just taste a little bit, so you don't really, it doesn't really register. Right? But if you drink, a little bit more, so it's that registers. So when it comes to wine, that little bit, even just, just a Mali Lugmav, that's enough that it's considered that you drank something substantial. Is anybody warm, by the way? Or comfortable? Comfortable?
Make a little bit.
Comfortable. Okay. If you get warm, let me know. We can adjust the temperature. Okay. Now, let's say a person, by the way, this is the basis for what we spoke about last week, that, you have to drink a Mali Lugmav. What about, what about making Kiddush on schnapps? Right? So we spoke about this last week very briefly. If you make Kiddush on schnapps, so you're only drinking an ounce, right? That little shot glass, and that's, it's probably not even filled up all the way to the top. So you're talking about less than an ounce. So besides for the problem that the cup is too small and things like that, but you're not drinking a Mali Lugmav. So there, we explained that the idea is, at least according to those who, again, we said that there might be some basis for not making Kiddush on schnapps, but if that's your minhag, right, if that's your minhag at least, so the idea is that when it comes to schnapps, that's the normal amount. Right, when it comes to wine, so you need a Mali Lugmav for you to feel like, I had a significant amount of wine. It's something substantial. Schnapps is less. You drink a shot of schnapps. That's normal. That's the normal derech. Now, what happens if a person did not drink a Mali Lugmav? What happens if you did not drink a Mali Lugmav? So I had a situation once, actually. It wasn't Kiddush, but I was staying at someone's house, and they made Havdalah. Made Havdalah, which is also Kol Shel Bracha. You have to drink from the cup of Havdalah also. They made, I remember, I was in Eretz Yisrael, I was learning at the time, I went to someone's house for Shabbos, they made Havdalah, and they took a little tiny taste, a little sip, and they put the cup down. And I was thinking to myself, Oy vey, it's not a Mali Lugmav. Right? Was that Yotzei Havdalah? Was that not Yotzei Havdalah? So let's see what the Mishnah Berurah writes, in source number 3, Tzarich Lishtos, you have to drink a Mali Lugmav, Vim Lav Lo Yatza. If you don't drink a Mali Lugmav, you're not Yotzei. Right, you're not Yotzei, making Kiddush a la kos. Now, of course, keep in mind that we said that Mida Oraisa, a person fulfills their obligation of Kiddush even just verbally. Right, the whole institution of Kiddush a la kos, making it on a cup of wine, that whole institution is only midirabbanan. But at least you're not yotzei the derabbanan. You're not yotzei this idea of making Kiddush a la kos midirabbanan. However, says the Aruch HaShulchan, he disagrees. V'ra'isi misha kasav, says the Aruch HaShulchan, I saw someone who wrote, Dibeloti imas mole lugmav lo yotza klal af b'di'evet. I saw someone who wrote that if you don't taste a mole lugmav, you're not yotzei even b'di'evet, even post facto, you're not yotzei. Udvarim temuim he. He says, I think that this is a wild statement to say that you're not yotzei if you don't drink a mole lugmav. Elevadai dezehu dato shel Rabbeinu Rabbeis Yosef. Really, what the Beis Yosef's opinion is, debelot te'ima ein hamitzvah kitikuna, aval yotzei yidei kiddush. If you don't drink, right, even if you don't drink anything, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah in the proper way. But of course, says the Aruch HaShulchan, of course you're still yotzei kiddush. You still fulfill your obligation of making kiddush. You didn't do it in the right way. You didn't do it in the proper way. But b'di'evet, you're still yotzei.
Arbakosos, which is the right, does you only need to have a mole
lugmah or Arbakosos is different. Arbakosos is different. Arbakosos, you have to have Rov Kos, you know, probably.
Rov Revius, no?
It depends. I mean, it depends how big your cup is. Some say it's if your cup is bigger, you should really drink Rov Kos or Rov Revius.
Why should that be different than the Friday night dinner, which is derived?
Why should. Why are Dalet Kosos different than Friday night Kiddush?
Right.
I mean, the Friday night Kiddush is a whole. I mean, Dalet Kosos is a whole different discussion because Dalet Kosos. The reason why we drink it, Dalet Kosos. The reason why we drink Dalet Kosos is nothing to do. It's a completely different thing. You have to feel the Cherus, and there's a lot of other things. Yeah, but within Mitzvahs Doraisa, there are different requirements.
Okay.
I mean, here, but when it comes to Dalet Kosos, part of it is that you have to feel the Cherus. That's part of the, you know, that's part of Dalet Kosos. Okay. Okay, now, what about the fact that, you know, we said that it's most of a Revius, right? We said a Mali Lugma of a cheekful is considered most of a Revius. Now, the problem is that, you know, there are different sized people in the world, right? Some people have bigger cheeks, some people have smaller cheeks. So what do you go with, right? Whose cheeks are we going with? So it says the Shulchan Aruch, it says the Mishnah Berurah in source number 5, Rubo Shel Revius. Hainu ba'adam beinoni. We're talking about like a regular average person, right? Average person. Machzik shi'uro kach. The average person, the average sized cheeks, hold, you know, one cheek will hold a male lugma of a rov of a revius. Aba ba'adam gadol b'yoser, misharinik male lugma of didei. But if you're a bigger person, right? You have Andre the Giant, okay? You're the bigger person. So you have to fill up your cheek, right? This is subjective. This is a subjective halacha. And keep in mind that the idea of male lugmav is that you're feeling the wine. It's something substantial for you. So we all know people, right? You know, alcohol, wine, everybody feels it differently. So if your cheek is bigger, says the Mishnah Berurah, you have to drink more. The figadlo mikamakom lo bayli shos tfei mirvius. He says you certainly don't have to drink more than a revius. So if you have a really big cheek, and you can hold more than a revius in your cheek, that much you don't have to do. You don't have to do more than a revius. The maximum you have to drink for Kiddush is a revius. Right? But you have to drink your cheekful. Okay? Your cheekful. Now, how to exactly, you know, there's no exact measurement. You're not going to be able to scientifically measure it. But you drink enough that it feels like, you know, you're filling up like that amount that would normally be one cheekful for you. And then that's enough that you're yotzei. Very interesting halacha, which is stated by the Kaf HaChaim. Now, we discussed in previous shiurim that everybody has different customs when it comes to standing or sitting during Kiddush. Right? So some people stand for all, you know, for both Kiddushim. Some people stand. Some people sit for everything. Some people, Friday night, they stand for part of it. They sit for part of it. Everybody has different minhagim. So it says the Kaf HaChaim, regardless of what your minhag is in terms of standing or sitting for Kiddush, however, V'yachol, and he writes there in source number 6, V'yachol lamo b'shas HaKiddush, you're allowed to stand up during Kiddush if you like. And even according to us, he says, the Kaf HaChaim's personal custom was to make Kiddush standing up. It's better to sit down before you drink. And I'm sure you've seen people do this, right? You make Kiddush, and then you sit down, and then you drink. By the way, the same really applies when it comes to Havdalah. Havdalah, many people make, I would say the vast majority of people make Havdalah standing up. Some people make it sitting down, according to the Gra. But the vast majority of people make it standing up. And really, ideally, a person is supposed to sit and then drink. Why? V'hatam, Because it's not proper etiquette for a person to be eating and drinking standing up, right? Normally, you eat and drink, you sit down. You sit down like a mensch, right? What do you say? You sit to my kids, right? Sit down like a mensch, you know? You sit down, you're a mensch, you eat, you sit down, you drink, you know, like a mensch. The Talmid Chacham doesn't walk around eating and drinking. So the best thing to do, whether it's Kiddush, whether it's Havdalah, you know, if you're standing up, is to sit down and then drink. Again, if you don't have a chair, if you're in a place, you know, you're in shul, and there's no chair near the table, okay, you know, you're still Yotzei, even if you drink standing up. It's a better thing to do if you can drink sitting down. That's what the Kaf HaChaim says. Now, who exactly has to drink? Who exactly has to drink? So most of us, I would say, in our homes, right, the Baal HaBayis drinks, and then he gives, you know, wine to everybody who's sitting there. Now, that's very nice if you have just people around your table. But what happens if you're at a bar mitzvah and there's 100, 200 people there? Or what happens if you're at, you know, I remember when I was in yeshiva, there's, you know, 400 people, 400 people in the dining room. So the Rebbe, you know, whoever's eating there, the one person's making Kiddush for the whole dining room. So now do they have to pour out little cups of wine for everybody who's in the dining room? I mean, it'll take a very long time. So says the Shulchan Aruch. A long straw, right? Says the Shulchan Aruch. Im lo tam hamakadesh. If the Mekadesh, the person who's making Kiddush, doesn't drink from the wine, v'tam echad meha mesubin kimlo lugmav, perish melofiv, and somebody who's there, anybody, right, this doesn't specify, anybody who's there, who's eating at that meal, drinks a mali lugmav, drinks a cheekful, yatsa, he's still yotze. So the halacha is that even if someone else drinks, right, not the Mekadesh, so I'm the Baal HaBayis, I'm making Kiddush, and for whatever reason, you know, I can't drink, I'm allergic to wine, and I didn't realize it was wine, and I can give it to somebody else sitting at the table, right? They can drink the wine, and you're Yotze. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says in the first opinion. What? The
person has to be told that he's going to drink, or even if he's not told, he's still Yotze.
No, I mean, I think that most people sitting around the table, everybody at the table, especially if only one person's making Kiddush, is having in mind that they're going to be Yotze with his Kiddush.
Right.
So that means they're Yotze with the Bar Priyagafen also.
But if the person's making Kiddush, I originally had in mind he was going to drink it, all of a sudden he decides he's not going
to. I don't know that it makes a difference. I don't know that it makes a difference. So this is the first opinion. Ve'ein shtiyas, now points out the Shulchan Aruch, ve'ein shtiyas shnayim mitzarefes l'moli lugmav. You can't have, you know, everybody at the table will take a sip, and oh yeah, all together, you know, we drank a moli lugmav. Okay? You know, you're laughing, but there's actually going to be an opinion that says that. But the Shulchan Aruch, at least in the first opinion, says we can't rely on that. Umikom makom mitzvah min hamuvchar sheyidam ukula. Shulchan Aruch says mitzvah min hamuvchar. The best practice, best thing to do is that everyone at the table should taste. Not obligated, right? You're not obligated. As long as one person at the table tastes the wine, Mali Lugmav, you're Yotze. But at least the mitzvah min hamuvchar, the best thing to do is that everybody should taste. That's the first opinion. Now the Shulchan Aruch quotes two other opinions. The Yesh Omrim, another opinion says, this opinion says, right, what we were just laughing about, that if everyone at the table, right, among everyone at the table, they consumed a male lugmav, they're yotze. The shtias kulam mitzarefes l'kashir. Everyone drinking together adds up to the proper shir. So if among everyone at the table you drank a male lugmav, you're fine, you're yotze. V'ha'ga'onim sovrim shim lo tam ha'makadesh lo yotza. The ga'onim are the most machmir. The Goanim are the most stringent. They say, no, the Mekadesh has to drink. Right? The person who's making Kiddush has to drink. So we have three opinions. The first opinion says, as long as somebody at the table, one person, drinks a Mali Lugmav, you're Yotze. Second opinion says, forget one person, I can have 10 people. 10 people all together, everybody takes a little sip. All together, it adds up to a Mali Lugmav, you're Yotze. Third opinion is the most stringent and says, no, the Mekadesh has to drink. The one who's making Kiddush has to drink. Okay? So how do we paskin? So says the Shulchan Aruch, not so clear how he paskins, but he says v'ro'i lachush l'divrehem. It's best to, you know, to try to fulfill their opinion. It's best to try to fulfill their opinion, which means that generally speaking, we try that at least the Mekadesh should drink, right? The Mekadesh should drink in all cases. At least you fulfill the opinion of the Gaon. Yeah.
If you drink less than the Kazayas, are you?
Mali Lugmav.
Do you have to make a bracha?
A bracha achrona? What are you talking about?
A bracha rishona?
Yeah, bracha rishona we make on any amount. Even if you're just tasting, a little bit of wine. You dip your finger in and you put it into your mouth, you have to make a bracha. Bracha Rishona we make, there's no minimum amount for a bracha Rishona, even just a little taste. We only have shiurim and amounts for bracha Achrona. Which anyways, in this case, we don't make a bracha Achrona on Kiddush because we say that the benching covers it.
That's true in any kind of food or just on Yayim?
Any kind of food. Anytime you eat food, even if it's just a little taste, you have to make a bracha. Bracha Rishona.
If you make Kiddush on grape juice, what shaykhs does Malay Lugmov have? It's not going to make any difference.
Well, there's no alcohol content.
Right.
Yeah, but still, but I mean, presumably the Shulchan Aruch is saying, even if it's grape juice, but it's still a substantial amount. Meaning that amount, you feel like you tasted something. You feel like you had a drink of grape juice. If you just taste a little sip, it's I didn't have a drink of grape juice. I tasted it. But if you drink a Malay Lugmov, then you had some grape juice. A little bit more significant. It's not just the alcohol content. It's a good point. Okay. Now, the Shulchan Aruch mentioned here that it's preferable for everybody at the table. Mitzvah min amufchar was his language. It's preferable, mitzvah min amufchar, that everyone at the table, everyone who's eating there, should taste a little bit of the wine. Now, how much do they have to taste? For that mitzvah min amufchar, right, how much does everyone at the table have to have? Does everyone at the table have to have a Malay Lugmov? So says the Mishnah Brura, in source number 8, Shayitabu kulam, hainu tima be'alma. No, everyone at the table, in order to fulfill this mitzvah min amufchar, everyone at the table just has to have a little taste. A little tiny taste, that's it. Just a little taste of wine. Ve'in tzarech mali lugmav rak le'echad. Only one person at the table has to be drinking this mali lugmav, right? We just had a three-way machlokas who it has to be. Either the Mekadesh or someone else at the table or everyone at the table together. Somebody has to drink a mali lugmav. But in terms of the mitzvah min amufchar, that everybody, it's a good thing for everybody to drink, that's just a little te'ima, that's just a little tiny taste, and that's fine. Avakasav Magen Avram, says the Magen Avram, very important here, Demisha Yeshlo Yayin Ma'at. Let's say I only have a little bit of wine. Right? I only have a little bit of wine. I don't have enough wine, to start giving out to everybody. I forgot to buy wine before Shabbos, I have a very little amount left. Mutav sheyitom echad kishir, he says it's better for just one person to drink the proper shir. Let one person drink a malei lugmav, hamesubin lo yitamu klal, and everybody else won't taste at all. Kidei sheyishoyer hanosar lemachar lekiddush ol havdala. So you'll have leftover wine. You got to make kiddush Shabbos day. You have to make havdala. You need more wine. So save your wine. One person will drink a malei lugmav because that's necessary, and everybody else doesn't have to drink. Right? We said it's only a mitzvah min amufchar. And the Mishnah Brura says very clearly here, okay, you know what? So it's very clear from here that there's no obligation for everyone at the table to drink. The obligation is that one person has to have a Malei Lugmav. Shulchan Aruch said preferably the Mekadesh, the person who's making Kiddush has to have the Malei Lugmav, and everyone else, it's a mitzvah min amufchar to have a little bit of wine, just a little taste. But more than mitzvah, it's not more than mitzvah min amufchar, which is why in yeshiva, generally speaking, the practice was that most people would not taste any of the wine, right? One person would make kiddush, and everybody else sitting there, would go and get up and go wash. They heard kiddush, they're yotze kiddush. The mekadesh drank a malei lugmav of wine, right? So he's yotze, and that's it. Everybody else gets up and goes to wash without tasting from the kiddush at all. So that's totally fine. Right? You're yotze, there's no problem with it. There were a group of boys who tried to always have a little bit because it's a mitzvah min amufchar. It's a good thing to do, to try to have from the cup of wine. But there's no obligation. Again, generally speaking, our practice is that when we make kiddush in our homes, that we do give a little bit for everyone to taste. But if a person is not interested, he doesn't like the wine, right? Or makes you sick, or you're not feeling well, or whatever the case might be, there's no problem. You don't have to taste anything. Right? You just, the mekadesh makes kiddush. He takes a malei lugmav, he tastes a cheekful, and that's it, you're yotze. Everybody else is yotze. So it's a mitzvah min amufchar to try to drink, but not everyone has to. Okay, now very important, the Mishnah Brura does say that when the Shulchan Aruch writes that a person, that we should try really that the Mekadesh should be the person who's drinking the malei lugmav, so says the Mishnah Brura in source number 9, Hainu lizahir lechatchila. Right, that means lechatchila. Lechatchila, the Mekadesh, the person who's making Kiddush, should try to drink a Malei Lugmav of wine. Ubidiyevet. However, what do we say, after the fact? After the fact, Hiskimu harbe achronim de'afilu shtias kol ha-mesubim mitzdarfin, the Malei Lugmav. So he says, very interestingly, after the fact, we really paskin, like that opinion, that as long as among everyone, you drank a malei lugmav, you're fine. And generally speaking, if you're giving out a little bit to everyone, right, at the table, you're going to have a malei lugmav. Malei lugmav is not that much. You know, 1.6 is going to be the low end, right? So chances are you're going to have a malei lugmav among everyone at the table. So even if the Mekadesh does not drink a malei lugmav b'diavad, after the fact, you might still have this malei lugmav with everybody combined. We don't do that l'chatchila, but b'diavad it's okay. And then he just adds another interesting point, that if you're joining everyone's drinking together for the malei lugmav, that everyone should drink within the amount of time of kedei achilas pras. Right? You may have heard about this shir, kedei achilas pras, within the amount of time it takes to eat a certain amount of food, a pras amount of food. And generally speaking, we say whatever's consumed within that time frame is considered part of one achila. It's one eating, one shtia, one drinking. Anything that's if it takes longer than that, so then it separates it. It's not considered one eating. The time that this is most important is when you come to Pesach. You have to have a kazayis of matzah, you have to have a, you know, maror, you have to have all these things. So you have to eat the matzah quickly, because you have to eat it within that time frame of kedei achilas pras. If you eat a kazayis of matzah, you know, outside of that time frame, so then it's not considered that you had a kazayis. Now, exactly how long is kedei achilas pras is a big question. And it ranges, there are different opinions, ranges anywhere from 2 minutes is on the low end, the minimum amount. And then some say kedei achilas pras is as much as 9 minutes or so. So you have quite a range. It's better to try to aim for the 2 minutes and try to get your whatever you're drinking or eating within that 2 minute time frame. If that's challenging, so then you try to do it as quickly as possible after that 2 minute time frame. Okay. Now we have one little problem here, and that's the last problem is that we learned last week that there's a requirement that when you're making kiddush, you can't use a kos pugum. Okay, so what do we say was a kos pugum? Kos pugum means a cup that someone already drank from. That's a kos pugum. It messes up the cup. It's not a nice cup for a kos shel bracha. You can't make kiddush on a kos pugum. So if somebody makes kiddush and they just taste a little bit and there's still almost a whole cup of wine left, you can't just pick it up and make kiddush. You have to do something to it. So he said you got to pour more wine into it to fix it up, or b'diavad you could pour it back in the bottle. Not the best idea. The best thing is to really pour more wine in first. That fixes it up, makes it not pogum anymore. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav extends this halacha that not only does the person making kiddush, not only can the person making kiddush not drink out of a kos pogum, but even the people at the table should not drink from a kos pogum. Even the people at the table should not drink from a kos pogum. So now we have a little problem, right? Because what happens? Because you drink from the cup. So if I drink from my cup, my kiddush cup, I make kiddush, and I drink from my cup, right? Let's assume we're not worried about germs. Okay, so I drink from my cup, and then I go and I pour it out into all the little cups. So now all that wine is coming from a kos pugum. So it's a problem. Everybody at the table is drinking from a kos pugum. So that's a problem. So what do we do? Okay, so let's look at source number 10, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. And he writes, even though we said it's a mitzvah min amuvchar, the best thing to do is that everyone at the table should drink from this kol shel bracha. Ein tzarich litom mikos hamevarich. You don't have to drink from the mevarich's cup, right? Not everybody has to drink from my personal kiddush cup. El yachol kolecha litain kol sol lifanov. Everybody can have a little cup in front of them. That's fine. V'yoser tov lasos kein. And in fact, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, there's even a benefit to doing that. Imefsha, why? Because as soon as I drink from my kiddush cup, I make it pugum. So if I'm now dishing out to everybody from my cup, it's going to be all kos pugum. So meanwhile, everybody, they'll have the little cup of wine in front of them, and they'll all drink from their cup of wine, and that way it won't be a kos pugum.
What's to stop everybody from having a full cup of their own? What you're making on one cup, and then they're drinking that cup.
So they could do that. That's what he's suggesting. Yeah. Everybody can have their own cup of wine in front of them, right? And one person will make kiddush, and everybody drink, you know, at a bar mitzvah sometimes, or at a wedding, you know, not at a wedding, but, you know, in a ofrof, you know, some kind of Shabbos simcha, very often, one person will make kiddush, everybody has their little cup with them, and they drink from their cup, and that's basically what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying. And he says, you get out of a big problem with that. With that, you get out of the problem of kos pugum, right? Now, but let's say not everybody has wine in front of them. You know, very often you go to someone's house and they don't pour wine in everybody's cup before kiddush. You know, okay, at a Shabbos simcha, so you have wine at every table. You know, so people pour their own wine. But if you're at someone's house, you're not pouring in, before Kiddush. Nobody, generally speaking, we don't pour like little cups of wine before Kiddush. So everybody has an empty cup, right? You just have empty cups there. Yachol liten mikos habracha me'at l'chol kos v'kos shelahem achar shebirech bari pri agafet. So says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, what should you do? Right, I have 10 little shot glasses here that I'm going to pass out to all the people at my table. But if I drink from it first and then I pour in, everybody's getting kos pogu. So what do? Says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, very simple. Make Kiddush. Before you drink, pour it out. Right? Start pouring the 10 little cups before you drink from it, and then you'll drink. So that way it's not a kos pogu. So you'll tell me, one second, you know, very nice, not a kos pogu. Hefsek, right? Here I just made Kiddush. And now it's going to take me, you know, 3 minutes to pour out all these little cups of wine. So it's a hefsek. I'm interrupting between my bari pri agafen and when I'm drinking the wine. Says the Shulchan Aruch Rav. Kodem shtiyah. So kidei sheyatimu mikos sheino pagum ve'ein bazem mishum hefsek ve'ein bracha l'shtiyah. Right? No problem of hefsek, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav. Why? Kevan shulet zorech shtiyas hamesubim. Because I'm not doing an extraneous activity here. I'm not, you know, just going to pour my neighbor a cup of soda. I'm doing something so that everyone at the table can drink wine of the Kiddush. So that's fine. That's not a hefsek. Right? And that's the general idea, general principle, is that whenever you do something that's litzorech, that's for some need, immediate need, it's not considered a hefsek. Right? It's not considered a hefsek. Right? The classic example, after you washed already, and you say, you know, please pass the salt, you know. So it's not a hefsek, because I need the salt to make hamotzi. It's litzorech, it's not a hefsek. So anytime you do that, if it's litzorech, it's not a hefsek. Umashu mevarech hu kilu hei mevarechim shareihim yotzim bibrikasa. When I made the bari pri agafen, it's really like everybody at the table made a bari pri agafen, because they're all being yotze with my bracha. So I make the bari pri agafen, I dish out all the little cups of wine, and then I take my drink. So that's one option. Option number one. Okay, again, the problem is that I can't drink from my cup and then dish out into all the little cups, because it's a kos pagum. So first, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says everyone can have their own cup in front of them that's full of wine, and they'll drink from their own cup. That's eitzah number one. Okay, eitzah number two says Shulchan Aruch Rav, pour out the cups before you drink, and then you drink, and no problem of hefsek. That's number two.
Can you refill your cup after you pour it out to make door?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you still need to drink a malei lugmav. Right. You still need at least a malei lugmav. Yeah.
So what about when people pour off into a separate cup?
Oh, okay, good question. By the way, that's, you know what, now that I'm thinking about it, it's an interesting point you're raising, because if you pour out all the wine, right, and let's say you didn't leave yourself a malei lugmav, so that might be a problem, actually, because there, if you pour more wine into the cup now, but that's not the wine that you made Kiddush on. I mean, it's more wine, but you're not drinking, I don't know, it's an interesting question, I have to think about that.
You know, that's what I do usually. I leave some in, and I just pour more in. But you know, I
but for
some.
Yourself or for other people?
Well, I have to give to other people. I don't have enough yet, but right. I leave some because I.
But you drink first, or the other people
no,
drink?
No, I didn't empty out the whole cup yet.
Yeah,
I left some in, and I pour more in.
Yeah, but I'm saying you drink first, or you're pouring out first.
No, I'm pouring out first.
You're pouring out first.
Right.
So that's the question Phil's asking. So I have to think about it. It's an interesting question.
What do you think he leaves? Empty out the
yeah, I understand. I understand. Right, right. I understand. You leave a little bit,
right.
But it's not enough for a malei lugmav. Right. So now I add more wine in, so that I'm drinking at least a malei lugmav. It's an interesting question, because why would it be a problem?
If you give out to everybody else, and we said that you can give to somebody else that they have a malei lugmav.
Yeah. I understand. But we said it's not lechatchila to the malei lugmav should be from everybody combined. The lechatchila way is that I should drink a malei lugmav.
No, I'm not talking about everybody combined.
Yeah.
Well, let's assume lechatchila give it out to somebody. Yeah. Somebody else does have a malei lugmav from that.
Yeah, but still lechatchila, it's the mekadesh should have the malei lugmav.
Okay, so yeah. The evidence is not a problem. Then.
No, but the evidence is certainly not a problem. But the evidence is certainly not a problem. The question is what's the best way to do it,
right?
But the evidence is certainly not a problem. The question is what's the best way to do it? Yeah. Okay. So if you look at the Mishnah Brura, so the Mishnah Brura raises an interesting point, and this is nogeya to something that I do. So some people, this is what I did honestly until I prepared this year, right? So what I did was I poured out, I made Kiddush, poured out from my Kiddush cup into my glass, okay? I drink from the glass, and then I pour out into all the other cups. That's what I did until this week, right? Until this week, okay? So what's the problem?
I think we're going to leave.
So what's the problem with that? Now, first of all, it's good. Why do you do that? Well, it's also good for germs. It's good for people who don't like germs. That way you're pouring into your cup, and then you drink from your cup, and then you pour from the Kiddush cup into everybody else. Okay. So says,
some
listen to this.
Some people do it.
Okay. So nowadays we're a little bit more fastidious about germs and things like that. So look at the Mishnah Berurah. So says the Mishnah Berurah, the only problem with that is as follows. Uvemagen Avram Hiskim, this is source number 11. Uvemagen Avram Hiskim Ledas HaTosvos, the Koshel Chova, Tzarich Lios HaTi'ima Davka Mikosh Yeshbo Revias Yayin. Interesting. He says that when you taste from the wine, the Magen Avraham says this, when you taste from the wine, you're tasting, even though you only have to drink a Malei Lugmav, you should be tasting from a cup that has a Revias in it. So if you pour out just a little bit, even if you pour out a Malei Lugmav, right, I pour out 2 ounces into my cup. So let's say it's a Malei Lugmav, according to Reb Chaim Nun, no problem. Right, it's a Malei Lugmav. But now my cup doesn't have a Revias in it. Right, so when I'm drinking, I'm drinking from a cup that has less than a Revias. So says the Magen Avraham, that's not the best way to do it. V'alkein, what's the best way? Hanachon sheyasekach, this is the best way to do it, says the Mishnah Berurah. Yishvoch mitchila mehakos harishon lesoch kos acher. What you should do is pour out into another cup, okay? V'yizar sheyishar bo revias yayin, but keep a revias in your Kiddush cup. V'yitom mehakos harishon kishir male lugmav. Meaning just do the reverse. Instead of pouring out into your glass and you drinking from the glass, pour out into the glass, leave a revias in your Kiddush cup, then you drink from the Kiddush cup, and then just use the glass to pour out into the other cups. So it's a similar thing, it's just that you're drinking from the Kiddush cup. Again, it doesn't make a difference that it's the silver part, you know, we don't care about the silver, but we care about the fact that it's the cup that has a revias. Generally speaking, the Kiddush cup is going to have more in it, it's going to have the revias in it. So pour a little bit out, you know, according to the Mishnah Berurah, the best thing to do, you know, pour a little bit out into another cup, you drink from the Kiddush cup which still has the revias in it, and then that other cup you'll use to pour out into the little cups. If you have to add wine to that cup, that's certainly fine.
When
right?
you pour a revias into the second cup.
Yeah, so presumably you could do that, right? If you pour enough, if you pour a revias, let's say at least, you know, 3 ounces, according to Reb Chaim Noah, so then presumably that would also work, yeah. Because then you're drinking from a cup that has a revias, 100%. Yeah. Okay? So far we have a few options. Either everyone can have their own cup, which is what we'll call the bar mitzvah option, right? Everybody has their own cup of wine at their table. Or you can make Kiddush, pour out all the little cups, and then drink yourself. Okay, that's the Aruch HaShulchan suggestion. Then the Mishnah Berurah writes that what you should do is, in order to avoid the problem, first pour out into another cup. You drink from the cup that has a revias, and then use the other cup to pour out into all the little cups.
So should you not give, like, I know a lot of times, like, husbands give their wives to drink from their cup.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
Not, like, the wife should have their own cup because of close cousin, or...
Oh, no, okay, good.
Yeah,
excellent. So number 12, excellent question. That leads us right to number 12. So says the Shaar HaTzion. She's on the ball, David. Says the Shaar HaTzion. Shaar HaTzion says in source number 12, U'kisheshosin kula mikos shel bracha, when everyone drinks from the kos shel bracha, from the actual kos shel bracha, af agav du shosin mitchila, even though the mevarech already drank from it, the makadesh, the person who made kiddush, already drank from it, Mikri mikos she'eno pagum. It's considered that you're drinking from a kos she'eno pagum. Dechashuvin kimekadesh gufa. Right? It's almost like you're the makadesh. You're drinking from the kos shel bracha. You're the makadesh. Verakish shovech mikoso lekosan bo'inan sheyishovech kodem sheyishte be'atzmo. The only problem is that when you're pouring from the kiddush cup into another cup, once you're out of the kos shel bracha anymore, now pagum comes into the equation. But if you're drinking from the actual cup, there's no problem with pogum. So if the person makes kiddush and hands it to his wife, no problem with pogum. It's the actual cup. So the other last eitzah, which is not a great eitzah for those who are germies, but you drink from the cup, pass it around. Pass the cup around.
Because otherwise you would have had the same issue. If you couldn't do that, think about under a chuppah. You know, forget about germs.
Right.
Chassan and the kala,
they're
drinking from the same cup.
Right, that's true. Right, that's true. Chassan and the kala drink from the same cup, right. Kosho pogum, right. Mm-hmm. They usually fill it up, but not between them.
Right.
Meaning they fill it up after the Chassan Kala drink,
right,
then they fill it up a little bit more. Right.
Drink,
correct.
You know?
Right. Good point. Yeah, mm-hmm. Good point. Okay? So if you're not a Germy, that's a good Eitzah. You know, you'll drink from the cup and just pass it around. You know, but for those who are a little more sensitive, which I imagine is most of us nowadays, then you could take one of the other options. Okay? All right. Now, the second topic I want to talk about tonight, for the remainder of the time, is Kiddush B'makom Suda. Right? We all know this concept that a person has to make Kiddush in the place where they have their meal. You have to eat where you make Kiddush. So let's look at the sources and see what's really going on here. Says the Shulchan Aruch, source number 13, Ein Kiddush Ela B'makom Suda. Right? You have to make Kiddush B'makom Suda. You have to make Kiddush in the place where you're having a Suda. Now, we have to define what exactly is a Suda. What does a Suda mean? Suda, does that mean I have to wash? We know that we don't do that, right? You may go to a kiddush in shul, right? You go to a kiddush in someone's house, you're not washing. You have mezonos, you have kugel, you have something. You're not washing necessarily at all these kiddushim. So we have to see exactly why that's okay. To the extent, the Shulchan Aruch says in source 14, which is Sif Gimel here, im kiddush velo saad, let's say a person makes kiddush, and that's it, doesn't eat anything, right? You just make kiddush on a cup of wine, you don't have anything afterwards, you don't eat anything. Afyidei kiddush lo yotze, you're not yotze kiddush. Kiddush has to be with the suda, has to be malakam suda. You can't just make kiddush by itself in a vacuum, you're not yotze. What's the idea behind this? Why is it that we have to make kiddush b'makam suda? So if you look at source 15, the Mishnah Berurah explains, dirsiv, because the pasuk tells us, v'karasa l'shabas oneg, that you call the Shabbos oneg, right? Oneg means the delight. B'makom oneg shehu asu'uda shamtei akriya shel kiddush. The karasa l'Shabbos, we understand, is referring to kiddush. You call Shabbos, you sanctify Shabbos, that's through the kiddush. Oneg, what's oneg Shabbos? Food, right? You're eating your meal, that's oneg Shabbos. So we learn from here, the karasa l'Shabbos oneg, that the oneg has to be at the same time, in the same situation, as the karasa l'Shabbos, as the kiddush. So that's the source, that kiddush has to be b'makom suda. Now, how, you know, specific are we over here, right? Let's say you're in one house. Can I make kiddush in one room and go to a different room? Right? Can I make kiddush in, you know, if I'm in the social hall downstairs? Can I make, or the gym, can I make kiddush at one end and eat at the other end? You know, it's not exactly the same place. So it says in Shulchan Aruch in 16, u'bebayis echad mipina lapina chashuv makom echad. When he says bayis here, he means a room, really. If you're in one room, okay, and you're going from corner to corner. You're in the gym downstairs. So you make kiddush, right? Usually they have a little table set up with wine or something. You make kiddush at that table. And then you're walking across the room to where the the good cakes are. Okay, so that's not a problem. That's considered all makom echad. Right, that's kiddush makom suda. That's all makom echad. Shim kiddush lecho bepina zuv, and imlach lecho bepina acheres. Let's say you had in mind you're going to eat in one place, and you go to another place, right? Let's say even you make kiddush, you're sitting down at one table. And then, you know, you don't like your company at the table. So you move to a different table. Right? That's fine. There's no problem. You're changing places within the same room. That's fine. That's kiddush b'makom suda. Afilu traklin gadol, even if it's a huge room, you know, a gigantic ballroom, no problem. One corner to the other, it's all one big makom. Ein tzarech lachzor el kaddish, you don't have to make a new kiddush. However, says the Rama, umibayis l'sukah chashuv kimipina lapina. Okay, so he says that, at least according to this opinion, that if you make kiddush, let's say, in the house, and you want to go eat in the sukkah, right? So that's considered all one room. It's considered mipina lapina, from corner to corner in one room. That's okay. The yesh omrim. Some say as follows, says the Rama, shekol sheroe mekoma. As long as you see the place where you made kiddush, afilu mibayis lechatzer. Even if you're going, not to the sukkah, I'm going outside, right? So I made kiddush in my dining room, right? And then I said, it's a gorgeous day outside. I don't want to eat inside. I want to eat outside. So you go out to your porch, you go out to your chatzer. As long as you can see into the dining room, says the Rama in this Yesh Omrim, that there's no problem. You don't have to make a new kiddush. Ein tzarech lachzor ulekadish. No problem. For Yesh Omrim, some say, shim kiddush b'makom echad, al das lecho b'makom acher. Let's say I have in mind, you know, two different things. But, you know, I make kiddush, and I have in mind that, you know what, I'm making kiddush in shul, I'm not going to eat anything here, I'm going to eat at home, or I'm going to eat at Chaim Yankel's house, you know, I'm going to eat at a different place. But I have it in mind when I make kiddush. So some say that's also, shop your dummy, no problem. However, he says the only catch is that you should try to have it that it's all within one house. So if you're going room to room within one house, or let's say you're in a shul going room to room, that's okay. That's okay. You're going from the attic you're going from the loft to the bottom, you know, different floors, or you're going into different rooms. No problem. Says the Rama, that's really how we paskin. So really we paskin, says the Rama, that as long as you have in mind when you make kiddush and you're in one building, I'm in one, right? One building, one house, one building. I can move around to different rooms as long as I had that in mind when I actually made the Kiddush.
So if there's a Kiddush in the gym and a Kiddush in the Sfarad Minyan, you're going to both. You make Kiddush in the gym knowing that you're going to go to the Sfarad Minyan. You don't have to make Kiddush again in the Sfarad Minyan.
Correct. And again, what we're talking about, you didn't eat, right? Well, you didn't eat at the, let's say you made Kiddush in the gym and you didn't eat there. You just made Kiddush, right? Now you want to go eat in the Sfarad Minyan because you heard they have better stuff there, right? So that you wouldn't have to make Kiddush again as long as you had it in mind.
But if you ate after you made Kiddush in the gym and then you go...
Well, once you ate already, so you fulfilled Kiddush, right? You don't have to make Kiddush again. You know, every place you go to, you fulfilled your mitzvah of Kiddush.
Right. If you make Kiddush in the shul and you have something to
and you go back home?
Then you go back
okay,
home.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Yeah. Question?
No, I want to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about
your
it.
Wife.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about it. Let's see. Okay. First of all... So the Mishnah Brura says that although we seem to be a little bit lenient with Kiddush B'Makom Sula, you know, you're moving around, you're going to different corners, different rooms, he says, L'chatchil, it's better not to. In source number 17, he writes, Mikom Makom L'chatchil Tov Shelo L'Asur Mimakom Shekiddush. He says, really, it's best to just remain in one place, right? Make Kiddush and remain in one place, eat something in that one place. Toyesh Machmirin Gam Mipina L'Pina, because there are some Machmirin, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you know, in a lenient fashion, but there are some people who are more stringent, that even within one big room, you shouldn't really be moving around. Now again, the Shulchan Aruch was lenient, but says the Mishnah Berurah, best thing is just to remain in one place. He already said it. If your das was that I'm going to move around, so certainly in a Kiddush, you go to the gym, you go to the social hall, of course your das, you're not thinking that you're going to remain in one place, right? I got to sample, you know, all the different tables. So of course I'm going to make Kiddush and I'm going to move around. But let's say the situation would be, let's say you're eating at a simcha, right? You're at a bar mitzvah, you're at an ofruf, and you're eating at a table. So you're kind of thinking that you're going to remain at that table. You're not really thinking you're going to be moving around tables. So according to that, the Mishnah Berurah says, l'chatchila, in terms of Kiddush, b'makom suda, it's better to remain and eat at that same table. It's best not to make Kiddush at one table, and then, oh, I changed my mind, you know, I don't really like these people at this table, I'm going to go make hamotzi at a different table. That's not the best thing to do. It's still okay, but the Mishnah Berurah says, but it's best to try, at least in that type of situation where you're not really thinking of moving around so much, it's best to remain and wash, you know, and have your hamotzi, your mezonos, in the same place that you made Kiddush. Okay, now, very important, the Ramah ended off that if you have in mind that you want to move around within the same house, I want to go from room to room, right? Or let's say it's a little bit more applicable in a case of a shul, right? So, you know where this comes up very often. It comes up in a let's say you have a situation of a shul, and you know, sometimes the shuls, the Rav will make Kiddush in the shul, right? If you have a shul that they have a Kiddush every Shabbos, so sometimes the Rav makes Kiddush in the shul, and everybody then is leaving the shul and going to the Kiddush room. The reason why sometimes Rabbanim like to do that is because they're nervous that if you don't do that, who knows, people are going to eat without making Kiddush, by the time the Rabbi gets there to make Kiddush, everybody's already going to be halfway through their Lakshin Kugel. Right, so we don't want people to be eating without Kiddush. So this way, the Rav will make Kiddush in the shul, and then everybody will go to the social hall for the Kiddush. The problem is, it's in a different room. Now, the Ramah said that as long as you have in mind when you make Kiddush that you're going to eat in a different room, that's okay, as long as it's in the same building. So it sounds like it should be okay in the case of the shul. However,
the Mekadosh doesn't have to eat it; he might see other people.
Well, the Mekadosh wasn't Yotzi himself yet, so he has a Kiddush Makom Suda also.
He doesn't have to. Rav makes a Kiddush in the
right.
Shul for everybody else.
Right.
He's being Yotze them with the Kiddush, but he himself doesn't have to eat.
Well, let's say he wants to be Yotze Kiddush also.
Yeah, okay, fair. But
yeah. Yeah, but the people also need Kiddush b'makom suda.
Yeah, they do. They heard
right.
Kiddush in the shul.
But they heard Kiddush in the shul, now they're moving to the social
right.
hall.
But
right.
For the Mekadosh, he doesn't have to necessarily eat to be Mekadosh then.
Okay. I mean, he's not Yotze Kiddush, so he has to make Kiddush again.
Right.
Okay, yeah, right, correct. Okay. So that says the Biur Halacha, very important, number 18. When mikol makom lechatchila lo yasekein ele b'makom dochek. So the Biur Halacha says it's really not best to do this, right? To have in mind that you're moving from a different room, you're going to make kiddush in one room and eat in a second room. Even if you have it in mind, it's really not the best thing to do. The Magen Avraham is if katan alef machmir lechatchila filu mipina lepina. Even moving around in the same room, the Magen Avraham is machmir. Mikol makom leinyan mecheder lecheder revaden achon achush lechatchila das haran. But if you're moving from one room to a different room, you should really be machmir. So says the Bir Halacha, really a person should try to avoid this, moving, you know, making Kiddush in one room and going to a different room. The only way that it's okay, he says, number one, if you can see the place. So let's say, you know, sometimes you have a shul where they have, you know, removable walls or something, you know, movable walls in the back, or, you know, they have some kind of window or a door that's open. So if you can see from the social hall into the shul and you have that in mind, then there's no problem. Absolutely no problem. But let's say you can't see. Some shuls, you know, you walk to the other wing of the shul to make, you know, for the actual kiddush, and the Rav makes kiddush in the shul. You can't see. So then the Mishaburah says, then the Bir Halacha sounds like he's saying that unless it's a really pressing situation, you should try to avoid it. Now, it could be that a Rav will make a decision that people eating before kiddush is a pressing situation, right? He doesn't want people to be eating before kiddush, and the chances of everybody waiting for him to get there to make kiddush are pretty slim. So he might make the decision that that's considered a makom dochek, and the Rabbah does pass him, it's okay. So if you're in a shul, and the Rav makes kiddush in the shul, and you have to walk to the other wing of the shul to eat anything, you know, it's certainly okay, but the Yavid, the Rabbah says it's okay, and the Bir Halacha says it's okay, but makom dochek, and that's probably why he's doing it. So it is okay, there is what to rely on, not the ideal situation necessarily, though.
You can make your own kiddush in the other
room. Yes, correct, right. Yeah, but I'm just saying, even for people who don't, or let's say they don't have wine available in the other room, but yeah, you could make your own kiddush in the other room, right. Yeah. Generally speaking, that's what I try to do when I'm in those situations, if possible. Okay,
so
now.
If you were in a situation, Rabbi,
mm-hmm.
If you were in a situation where you finish davening and somebody puts out a bottle of schnapps, okay,
right.
And there is nothing to eat, you shouldn't make kiddush then.
You're saying nothing what? Nothing to eat?
Nothing to eat with.
Okay, so we're going to get to that right now. Okay, one last thing before we get to that is... one second... Okay, I thought I had it here. Okay. You know what? We're going to come to it. Okay, so let's go through it. Then we're going to end off with that discussion about when you make kiddush and shul and then you go home. Okay, so the question really is, what do I have to eat? Right. Well, so we know you have to make kiddush b'makom suda. I'm going to try to wrap this up quickly. You have to make kiddush b'makom suda, right? So what exactly do I have to eat? So we're not going to see everything inside, but in source number 19, the Gaonim write that you don't have to eat that much. Even if you just have a little bit, you drink a cup of wine, your yotze kiddush b'makom suda, right? You don't have to. You don't really have to eat that much, as long as it's bread, wine, something like that. But peros, if it's something like fruit, vegetables, that doesn't count. It has to be something more substantial, either wine, bread, cake, something more substantial like that. As long as you eat a kezias. Mishnah Berurah points out in source number 20, you have to eat a kezias of it. If you're drinking wine as your kiddush b'makom suda, you have to drink a revius. Okay? So this is a possibility. Now, the Mishnah Berurah does point out that that's not ideal. It's not lechatchila. So the best thing to do, really, is to have some sort of a mezonos. You know, you have some kind of cake or cookies that adds up to a kezias. You should eat a kezias, which is not that much. You know, a little, small little matchbox, approximately, is the size of a kezias. So you have some mezonos, which is a kezias. The Rav Simcha Bonum Kohn points out that Rav Scheinberg told him that even if it's not cookies or cake, let's say it's a Lakshenkugel, you know, something like a cooked, something that's cooked. It's not like a baked, you know, pastry. So even that's okay. Even Lakshenkugel, something that's mezonos, would be okay also. That would count. So it should be mezonos. Potato kugel wouldn't really count, right? Because he said peros don't really count. So probably, you know, potato kugel falls under the realm of peros. But it should be some sort of, you know, some sort of mezonos, whether it's cookies, cake, or, you know, or Lakshenkugel, or some sort of, you know, something like that. Eat a kezias of it is okay. If you can't do that, for whatever reason, you know, you can't stomach it, or you're not hungry, whatever the case might be, so then, b'diavad, you can rely on the opinion that drinking a revius of wine, so even 3 ounces of grape juice, let's say, would be considered revius, according to Rav Chaim Noah, that's also considered kiddush b'makom suda, which is also very important in the case, let's say, it's Pesach. You know, very often on Pesach, a lot of the desserts are not mezonos, because they're made from potato starch and things like that. They're not mezonos. So then, sometimes what you have to do, you either find mezonos stuff, you know, it's made out of matzah meal, or you can drink, you know, 3 ounces of wine, you drink a revius of wine or grape juice, and that's considered kiddush b'makom suda. Just to end off, there is one opinion quoted by the Bir Halacha, it's the opinion of the Gra, that the Gra says, he says, all this business of drinking, you know, drinking wine and cookies and cake, it's ridiculous, it's not kiddush b'makom suda. Kiddush b'makom suda means your bread, right? Washing, making halotzi, that's kiddush b'makom suda. That was the opinion of the Gra. The Gra didn't hold of this making kiddush on mezonos and things like that. Which is why, now, generally speaking, our practice is not like that. We do make kiddush, as we know. We make kiddush on mezonos and things like that. However, this is the basis for those people who go home after kiddush. This is one basis of making kiddush again, right? Because according to the Gra, According to the Gra, you didn't fulfill Kiddush b'makom suda. So here, at least, you know, if you make Kiddush again when you get home, you're going to make Kiddush, you're going to wash. It's not a bracha levatala because you're just making a bar pri agafen. Right? There's no bracha levatala here. So you make Kiddush, you make a bar pri agafen on the grape juice. You fulfill Kiddush b'makom suda even according to the Gra. That's one reason to do it. Another reason to do it, as you mentioned, as Dr. Bleischer mentioned, is that, you know, maybe your wife is home and she wasn't in shul. She didn't have Kiddush b'makom suda, right? Or maybe you have other guests who didn't have it. But even if everyone did, you and your wife both went to a Kiddush and you ate at someone's house, there still is a nice thing to make Kiddush again when you get home, because at least you fulfill Kiddush b'makom suda according to the Vilna Gaon. I won't say it's obligatory, because our custom seems to be that we do rely on mizonos and things like that to be Kiddush b'makom suda, but it's a nice thing to do. Yeah.
You come when you make Kiddush with suda, you come home making Kiddush again for your wife, but she doesn't want to have lunch right now. So she's not going to be b'makom suda. She also with Kiddush because you're doing a b'makom suda.
So that's a problem. She should also have, at least she should drink 3 ounces of grape juice or something, that at least that's Kiddush b'makom suda for her. But she has to have Kiddush b'makom suda also. So if you just make Kiddush and then you're not going to eat for a while.
I'm not yotze her if she's not going to have a suda there.
Right, correct. She's not yotze. Yeah. Okay?
Am I allowed to make Kiddush though if I know I don't have a mizonos in front of me or if I just have a fruit platter in front of me?
So again, the best thing to do is have mizonos, but if not, at least drink 3 ounces of grape juice. At least that will be Kiddush b'makom suda. It's not the ideal thing, but it's better than nothing. Okay? Yashakoach, Mitzvah Shem, next week we'll pick up with other halachos.